Let's begin.
This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that.
All right, next segment, I want to talk to you about all the NFL coaching changes. But we're about to enter into an extraordinary window where there are a lot of free agents looming. No one bigger than Tom Brady. And he really is going to be a free agent. It doesn't look like the Patriots are going to tag him in any way. He was talking to Mark Davis of the Raiders in Las Vegas.
They had all 40 seconds together.
Yeah, no, it was more than 40 seconds.
I mean, it took McGregor to take down Cowboy.
There are whispers he was giving Mark Davis some haircut advice. He needs a new do. Maybe he can get the Brady
well,
look.
Well, that is, yes.
Now, listen, would you want the Raiders to make a move, pick up Tom Brady, discard Derek Carr, and probably get two?
Discard card?
You would like have that. To get rid of him. What would you want? What would probably be 2 years with Tom Brady?
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
It is tough. I mean, who would ever say they don't want Tom Brady? And I think that would be a sexy move for Oakland, that's for sure.
As they move to Las Vegas, they need all the sex appeal they can get.
Yes, I don't see Tom Brady leaving New England. Do you honestly
think
that's
happening? He's going to go back to the Patriots. I think a lot of this is a lot of attention. But Brady is saying he's open to the process. I mean, he's just doing that to get leverage in what looms as a big negotiation on contract.
And let's be honest, at this time of year, is Tom Brady ever not in the headlines?
Fair enough.
So I think maybe this is kind of keeping his stock going, he didn't have a great season, even personally himself. And so why not build up your stock a little bit? Start talking.
Yeah, I actually think the Patriots will re-sign Tom.
I do think too.
They will go get another piece or two on offense. I mean, they didn't have a tight end this year, basically. Ben Watson's not a credible tight end. They need a tight end. They need a...
receivers.
One more receiver, and that offense will get back into gear. I really think that's the answer. But the Raiders thing is wildly intriguing
for you intriguing.
And your Raider Nation.
I don't know that Derek Carr will be the starting quarterback next year. I like him. I just don't know that Gruden has been completely bought in.
When we come back, we're going to look at the coaching changes.
Then we'll talk to Tony Pauline.
Who has done? Oh, it'll be Tony Pauline. We return.
That's right. NFLNetwork.com.
All right. He's coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And we are shifting gears and looking at the NFL. There have been so many coaching changes. Well, about five or six teams here who have made significant
shifts.
Less
than normal, it seems like.
Yeah, a fewer openings this year. But it is interesting to look at the landscape and reflect on who did well. And I feel good about several of the teams. I'll tell you that the one that puzzles me the most is the New York Giants.
Same.
I mean, Joe Judge as the head coach was a questionable pick to me. Of course, Joe Judge, the special teams and wide receivers coach for the Patriots. And wide receivers was perhaps the weakest position on that Patriots team.
That was called... I want a Patriots pick. Who can I get?
Yes.
This one's available.
Well,
he'll
leave. That was a stunner, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Joe Judge went out and got Jason Garrett, his offensive coordinator. And I know we're going to come back to that.
Yeah.
But that was a surprise to me as well. I was impressed by Carolina, actually. I think that the combo of Matt Rhule and having Joe Brady as offensive coordinator, it may not be a this year breakthrough for them, but those two guys are two of the brightest young minds across football, and that's a heck of a duo to bring into Carolina.
I think Carolina hit the jackpot. I do. I think that's a great combo, and I think you're right. It's not going to be built. It's not going to be changed in a day, but they've got great pieces to work through, minus Luke Kuechly, of course, but
I found the choice of Kevin Stefanski, the former Minnesota offensive coordinator, coming to be the head coach of the Browns, a little puzzling. I feel like they needed somebody who had more credibility, more history, more legacy, more standing for a team where the locker room looks a little bit like a zoo. It needs to be really reined in. They need
a tougher guy.
A tougher guy, a stronger voice, a guy who has a championship belt who could come in and really set a different course. And I don't really know Kevin Stefanski. I haven't seen him coach other than we've seen what he's done with Minnesota, and they've had a pretty darn good offense the last few years. But I just felt like they needed somebody stronger. Stefanski is too close to Freddie Kitchens in my mind, an inexperienced first-time head coach. I wanted somebody who had real backing and experience. I might have wanted a Ron Rivera. I might have wanted a Mike McCarthy in Cleveland. I just don't know that he was the right
pick. More of a veteran. I agree. And, you know, his press conference was interesting in talking about working with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
He said, I mean, I just look forward to working with a guy that's just so accurate. And I'm like, what? That is one thing Baker Mayfield is not.
Well, it used to be, and then it all unraveled.
No, in the NFL, he is not accurate. That's a huge problem. So I'm a little, I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a rude awakening for Stefanski, for sure.
If I were Cleveland, I would have picked up Josh McDaniels ahead of that. At least, now he would have been a second-time head coach, right, because he was with the Broncos. So he just seems like somebody who comes in with more credibility. He's a name that everybody knows. He's been in Super Bowls. It just feels like a better choice.
Okay.
All right, have Tony Pauline joining us. Do we not, Jose? We got him. Tony, welcome onto the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Thanks for having me. Sorry for the delay.
No, you are an NFL draft expert.
You're worth the wait. We're excited.
Yes, we are delighted to have you. So you're at the Senior Bowl, right? Or you will be?
I am. No, I'm here in cold Mobile, Alabama. Believe it or not, I was at the Shrine Game last week. It was 85 degrees, and we are at the Senior Bowl, and it's about 35 degrees this evening.
Awesome.
In Mobile, Alabama.
Well, so fill us in. Whom are you most looking forward to see this week?
Well, obviously, the quarterbacks always put on the good show, and really the Senior Bowl is the kingmaker at the quarterback position. So when you got guys like Justin Herbert and Jordan Love here, players who could be top 15 picks if they perform well, that's going to be the headliner. So, you know, you look at the past history of the Senior Bowl, Carson Wentz's last year, Daniel Jones, you go back to Phillip Rivers and the way he performed at the Senior Bowl. I think there's a lot on the line for the quarterbacks this year, or this week, I should say.
And Tony, is Jalen Hurts, I saw him on the roster, is he going to be there this week as well?
Jalen Hurts, I saw him this evening. He was at the press conference. Obviously, he's here. He's going to be participating. It's a huge week for him. Had a great year. I think Jalen Hurts can definitely secure a spot for himself in the second day of the draft with three good days of practice. So, yeah, he's here, and you know, he's got a good following. It's a great story. Former Alabama quarterback goes to Oklahoma, and now he's back here in the state of Alabama.
We're talking to Tony Pauline. He's an NFL draft expert for ProFootballNetwork.com. Okay, let's talk about the draft. Joe Burrow surely going number one. And, of course, when the Panthers got Joe Brady, there were whispers the Panthers would try to trade up. Is there any fire behind that smoke? Is there a possibility that the Panthers could make a trade with the Bengals and get Joe Burrow?
No. I mean, everything is smoke right now, and it's just a bunch of people throwing things out. You got to remember, we're still very early in the process. You know, Burrow's very likely to go number one to the Cincinnati Bengals. But you know what? The Bengals have not sat down, and no team has sat down and really interviewed Joe Burrow one-on-one. He hasn't gone through the background checks. He hasn't gone through the medical checks. Now, those things should pan out for Joe Burrow. But Ray, really, any expectations or any talk about this team trading up, I think it's just all a bunch of bluster and things that start on the internet and tend to basically build a life of their own. But there's really not much truth to it. Will Carolina maybe attempt to move up? I'm sure they will, or they'll at least broach it, but I don't think there's any legs to that it's going to happen.
Let me ask you about it. The other quarterback, Tua. The thought is, of course, he couldn't fall further than five where the Dolphins would be. Is that the most likely outcome for Tua at this moment?
At this moment, yes. But a lot's going to depend on the medicals and how the team views those medicals. You know, is Tua going to be able to play football in 2020. And if he's not able to play football in 2020, you know, are the say the Miami Dolphins ready to take him that early in the draft and redshirt him for the year so his hip and everything else heals? So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense right now. But again, you know, there's especially with Tua, there's so much that needs to be told about the medicals, which we'll find out at the combine.
We're talking to Tony Pauline. He's an NFL draft expert for ProFootballNetwork.com. Okay, let's look at the draft. What position stands out to you? Where is most of the talent? Is there one position you'd set apart?
I like the offensive tackle class a lot. I think with Andrew Thomas at the top, his teammate Isaiah Wilson, you got Jedrick Wills of Alabama, you got Tristan Wirfs of Iowa. I think you could see potentially six offensive tackles going in round one. I think it's a good defensive line year. Not so much pass rushers. You got Chase Young, and then it kind of falls off. But I think overall, when you look at the defensive tackle and just the pure defensive end, guys that can rush the passer as well as play the runs, guys like A.J. Epenesa, I think it's very good in that area as well.
Tony, how is the running back position looking for you? We had the surprise announcement from Travis Etienne. Najee Harris is going to go back to Alabama. What do you make of what's going on with the running back positions, especially those two?
Very top heavy. And I think ATN wasn't that much of a surprise considering that Dabo Swinney has done a great job in the past, keeping his underclassmen in tow. But I think it's when you look at DeAndre Swift, you look at J.K. Dobbins, you look at Jonathan Taylor of Wisconsin, I think it's a top heavy class. And I think it's a situation where if you want to get a potential feature running back, a potential starting running back, you better grab one quick within the first 42 picks. Because then after that, you do have some talent at the running back position, but you're looking at more situational type of ball carriers.
Let me ask you, how many quarterbacks will go in the first round? Because it sounds like Tua is there. What you said about Herbert and Love are probably there. Jalen Hurts not there. Do you see four going? How many quarterbacks in the first round?
Four, maybe five. Joe Burrow is going to go in the first round. Justin Herbert will go first round. Tua Tagovailoa will go in the first round. Jordan Love will go in the first round. I think right now the wild card to be number five could be Jacob Eason of Washington, the big, tall, strong-arm passer who, you know, a lot of people like. He's got great upside, just does not have a big body of work after transferring to Washington from Georgia. And has shown some inconsistency in his play, but he's got the size, he's got the arm strength, he's got the physical skills that NFL coaches are going to love.
So the Lions and the Bengals are the coaching staff for this year's Senior Bowl, Tony. Do the coaching staffs, is there a distinct advantage when it comes to the evaluation process, in your opinion, being at the Senior Bowl?
Absolutely, because they get to spend the most time with these guys. You know, they get to really see if these guys understand the scheme. They really get to find out firsthand if these guys are coachable, if these guys got versatility. Basically, for lack of a better term, if these guys get it between the ears. Mm-hmm. And that is really an important intangible. And when you're dealing with these players on a one-on-one basis, as they are for the entire week, they're working off a playbook that you gave them. And you're basically giving them direction on the field. It's an absolutely decided advantage.
We're looking at the Dolphins, the Raiders, teams with multiple picks. Do you see them staying where they are? Or is this a draft where it makes sense to trade around?
Well, you know, you got to see what the way the board falls. I think, you know, if the Dolphins go quarterback early, if there's an offensive tackle there on the board that they really like, I think that they could move up and grab one of the offensive tackles. I think with the Raiders, if there's a speed receiver, you know, if they really get an itch for Jerry Jeudy and Jerry Jeudy starts to slip a little bit further than they think, I think that they could package a bunch of picks to move up and get some speed at receiver, which they need. So, you can't say that they're going to try and trade up unless there's a player at a position that they want or that they covet starts to fall down. Then I think they package some picks and move up to grab that player.
Awesome stuff. That's Tony Pauline. He's an NFL draft expert. You can find him at ProFootballNetwork.com. Tony, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss, and we were just laughing off the air about Daryl Revis's comments about Richard Sherman. What bad timing, right? He's saying, Sherman, you're no good. You don't know how to cover these guys one-on-one.
Right, right.
You're just a product of a big scheme. And then Sherman plays a great game, and he's going to the Super Bowl.
He essentially ends any chance that Green Bay had for coming back with a beautiful interception. He's 31 years old. And he's balling.
Yeah. Well, look.
He made up for a play that he
yes, Davante Adams burned him deep.
He did.
And that will happen to corners. And look, no one would suggest that Sherman's coverage skills were what Revis had when he played. No one's suggesting that.
Right.
Why write the tweet in the first place? What's the point of it all? Now, it does put Revis back on the news if that's what he wants.
Right. The timing was bad. It wasn't what he said was wrong. The timing was
Sherman
terrible.
Is not the lockdown cover to cover number one guy all over the field.
No, but guess and he's what? Sherman's going to the Super Bowl.
And he's playing in a product. He's a product of a system, too. The 49ers enjoy the cover three. That's a part of their makeup.
That's right.
But right now,
bread and butter.
It'd be a lot more fun to be Richard Sherman than Daryl Revis because you're going to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Odd timing.
Crazy.
Not sure why that seemed like a good idea. But I have some questions for you. Seriously,
really?
That I've been writing all week. I'm like, I cannot wait to ask the boss. So
please.
I know our next segment is What Does the Boss Say? Yeah. But I'm warming you up.
Okay.
With, I really do want your expert opinion on this because you are our resident Cowboys expert.
Yes.
And you're very honest about it. I appreciate that. You're not just a homie. So I do want to start with the Cowboys, but this starts way back. So Hall of Fame just announced their centennial class.
Yep.
And Dallas, great. You love Cliff Harris. He was the safety. He's going in. That's very exciting. But wide receiver Drew Pearson left out. Again, he's the only one now from that Cowboys Ring of Fame. He was very vocal about being disappointed. How do you feel about that? He says, they broke my heart. It hurt.
He should be disappointed. All of Cowboys Nation should be disappointed. This is a guy who is deserving. I mean, he was on the all-decade team. He's the only one who is not yet in the Hall of Fame.
The only one.
He is deserving. Drew Pearson needs to be in there, and hopefully he'll get another chance. This is a guy who unequivocally made a mark on the Cowboys in their great run in the 70s.
Two Super Bowls he was really instrumental, right?
He was synonymous with all their success. I mean, the thing about that Tom Landry, Roger Staubach, Drew Pearson era was, yes, there were Super Bowl victories, but also it was just sustained success. They were in the playoffs every single year. And Drew Pearson, yes, he's known for the Hail Mary catch. Fantastic. A big playoff win over the Vikings. It was not a Super Bowl season for them. But he was also the guy who made big-time catches against the Redskins on Thanksgiving Day in a playoff game from Danny White over the Falcons. He was the guy who, for one reason or another, always made the big catch for the Cowboys, and he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Harold Carmichael deserves it. He's a worthy guy, but Harold Carmichael did not make the big catches on the big stage that Drew Pearson made. But it's a silly thing to debate whether it should be Drew or Harold. It should be both of them. Drew Pearson mm-hmm. should be in the Hall of Fame.
And I'm glad he was honest about it and said, they broke my heart. That hurt. So hopefully he's got another chance, right?
He's a class act, and there's still hope.
Okay. Let's hold it out for him. Okay, your Cowboys have a new coach.
Yes.
In Mike McCarthy.
Yes.
So I want to hear your thoughts, A, on that, and has like your initial reaction, and then has it changed as it's gotten massaged out? And how do you feel about him keeping Kellen Moore as the OC?
So I've warmed up to Mike McCarthy. He was not the sexy pick. He didn't wow me when the announcement was made.
You don't think he's sexy?
Well, I'm looking at you, so of course. But no, Michael McCarthy is a guy who has had success against the Cowboys. He obviously got the Super Bowl ring at the Packers. The only mystery about him to me was what went wrong there at the end of the Packers' run when he and Aaron Rodgers were at odds.
Wow, they really were.
That was really a struggle, and that gives me a little bit of pause. But he did sit out a year. He did study the league. When Andy Reid left the Eagles and went to the Chiefs, he didn't get any time off. I think having a year off and looking at all the changes that are happening all over the league, the new types of plays that are being run out of different formations, the read options that are happening, I think it's a very healthy thing. I think the year off will serve him well. And when you look at the lineup of the Cowboys, when you look at the talent they have on the field, assuming the key pieces are all back, I think they needed somebody who could win now, not somebody who would grow into the job. Lincoln Riley might have been a sexier pick, but I think it would have taken him some time to grow into the NFL.
Well, you know, does this give you any cause to pause to think that Mike McCarthy had a long run in Green Bay, 13 years, one Super Bowl out of 13 years, and it was interesting to hear Aaron Rodgers last night. And let's also give Mike McCarthy a bit of the benefit of the doubt in that Aaron Rodgers is a salty dude, and last night was not a happy moment for him, but he said, despite the outcome of this game, which obviously the Packers lost, it's really nice to finally have fun again playing football.
Yeah.
Was that a diss to Mike McCarthy? And does the one Super Bowl and Aaron Rodgers kind of subtle, not so subtle diss give you any reason to think, it's going to happen in Dallas?
Well, you almost said two things there. The one Super Bowl during the Aaron Rodgers era doesn't bother me as much because you look at how rare it is to win a Super Bowl. You could say the same, Sean Payton and Drew Brees, they won one Super Bowl and they've been together a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
What
that's
bothers amazing. Me more is that something went awry with those two. Now, in any divorce, there's usually blame to go to both parties. So I really can't say what happened there. But I would like to think McCarthy, after a year off and some perspective, would bring to bear some lessons learned and hopefully be a uniter in that locker room for the Cowboys.
So he's going to retain Kellen Moore as the OC, and he's going to give the play calling duties to Kellen Moore. He called all the plays in Green Bay.
Yep.
What do you think made that switch? You think that's Jerry or that's him just saying, I really like this guy, this young guy. I think he's going to do it.
Well, by all accounts, Jerry did hands off say you can pick whom you want to be your assistants. And in fact, Jerry had some biases in that regard. Jerry loved Mark Colombo, the offensive line coach, but he allowed McCarthy to pick his own offensive line coach. So I don't think that Kellen Moore is there as a result of Jerry. McCarthy has come out publicly and said he's been impressed with Kellen Moore. He's watched him from afar. And statistically, the offense of the Cowboys was very productive this year and showed a significant uptick when Kellen Moore was calling the plays. Based on pure stats, there's a great argument for Kellen Moore.
That's true.
There's something about the eyeball test, though, that is a little different than the stats. The Cowboys were frustrating, and they didn't perform at critical moments. And I think I'd like to believe that Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy will have a mind meld, that McCarthy won't just say, oh, this is Kellen Moore's offense. You call it. You run it. You do it. No, that, in fact, McCarthy can help Kellen Moore get to the next level. By everyone's estimation, Kellen Moore is a young, bright coach who is gifted, but he's still
inexperienced,
very inexperienced. And McCarthy could bring some things to them. It's interesting the language that came out of a recent dialogue between them, that the old Jason Garrett offense was a Don Coryell offense. The Mike McCarthy offense is more of a West Coast Bill Walsh offense. Kellen Moore is, of course, more of a read option collegiate offense. Call it whomever you want to call it, Mike Leach or anybody else. And they have in that mix, in that room now, a look at all those offenses, and hopefully they can cater the offense to the talent on the team.
You're so right, because statistically, the Cowboys have the number one offense in terms of yards and number six in points scored. Yeah, that's fascinating. I love that's a great
that's
thing to look
not
at.
The kind of stat that makes you fire your offensive coordinator.
No, that's
and
right.
So Kellen Moore comes back, and hopefully McCarthy will take him to another level.
Okay, this is sort of keeping with the Cowboys. Jason Garrett did not remain in the unemployment line very long.
Right.
He is now going to be the OC for the Cowboys division rivals. Under Joe Judge.
As a Cowboys fan, I love that. I didn't think Joe Judge was a great pick as a head coach for the Giants. I really am surprised, given that he was the coach of the wide receivers, the weakest position of the Patriots. And then to bring in Jason Garrett, who never really was that great an offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, and was at the Cowboys for 10 years with mediocrity. The only argument is that Joe Judge needed somebody who had experience play calling, but experience what Garrett had, not success. So I'm just, as a Cowboys fan, I think it was a bad pick for the Giants.
Intel on their division rivals, that's for sure.
There'll be more of Ask the Boss when we return.
It's coming back.
Here we go, SB Nation Radio.
Ducks and quack and fish go blub. and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Ah, that music reminds us. This is when we get to figure out what we're going to say, at least I'm going to say, about what sports luminaries have said. We're going to listen to some big quotes across the world of sports and offer our own commentary. And we're going to begin today with the NFL, some of the post-game pressers that came out of the championship games. Let's begin with the hero for the 49ers, Raheem Mostert, who was an absolute star yesterday in the 49ers win.
What a story.
An amazing story. This is a guy who had been cut by about six teams, right? To think he just kept coming and coming and coming. He was cut by six teams and he kept going in trying again.
And he didn't even make – he was on practice squads for some of the teams. He wasn't even on active rosters.
So
pretty impressive.
After the game, he recounted his tough journey to get where he is now.
I did have a lot of doubters and naysayers, and now I get to actually tell them, hey, look where I'm at now. You know, I never gave up on my dream. I never gave up on the opportunities when it presented itself. And, you know, I always worked hard no matter what. And, yeah, it's crazy that I've been on seven different teams. I actually still have the cut dates, and I look at that every before every game. I look at the cut dates when I got cut.
He's an amazing story. I mean, how many guys could you think are like him? That was picked up off the scrap heap and ran for that kind of yardage in that kind of game. An incredible story. Now, the scheme was really impressive.
I was going to say, scheme matters.
There were so many runs where he wasn't touched until he was downfield 2 to 3 yards. His contact after yardage was a very good number for the 49ers.
Well, and you know, honestly, if I said to you, okay, I've got a roster with Jimmy Garoppolo and Raheem Mostert.
Yep.
Who do you have making an impact?
Right.
Would you even question, would you even hesitate?
Right.
And here we have Jimmy Garoppolo who had 8 passes. Attempted, and do you know how many he had in the second half attempted?
How?
Dose.
Yeah, but
two.
But you're shortchanging. Jimmy G handed the ball off pretty well.
He did.
Think
he
about that.
He was awesome, and look who got to benefit. So I love that. I love Mostert's attitude, and I think looking at your cut dates, you know, you can take adversity, and you can be paralyzed by it, or you can be motivated by it.
Mm.
And to look at your cut dates before every game, he's had a fabulous season. It wasn't just last night. Last night was a breakout game, but he's had a really great season. Good for him.
All right. Staying with the 49ers' big win, Richard Sherman was in the news.
Hello.
And he reminds us that he can be the king of petty. Let's hear Richard Sherman.
I think they were trying to pump themselves up. They were trying to hype themselves up, you know, throughout the talking about a revenge game. Like they weren't coming in with an advantage into that game. You know, we were coming off of a battle with Seattle, and they were coming off a bye. And so saying payback and saying, you know, when you stay ready, you don't got to get ready. So it's not they're trying to hype themselves up like, man, we're going to be ready this time. You weren't ready the first time, and that was in front of the whole country. That was a Sunday night game. It wasn't like it was a game, just a middle of the day, 1 o'clock game. You know, and I really kind of bothered us a little bit.
Whatever happened to, hey, the Packers are a good team, but we're so proud that we were able to defeat them today and defeat them twice this season. No, it's, well, they were talking trash and this and that, hyping themselves up. Anyway, it's Richard Sherman, and it's all good theater, right?
And it's what makes Richard Sherman Richard Sherman. But the nice thing is, I love that at 31 years old, he's still backing it up.
Yep.
You know, like last night in the game, he let who was it, Devontae Adams?
Yeah.
He let him go. I mean, he missed the play on the one-on-one game.
Adams got behind him deep.
Got him behind deep. But then next drive, next play down, or soon after, interception to seal the game. So he did make up for it. And I love that he's still able to do that as a corner at 31 years old. It's impressive.
Well, he's been a nice veteran addition for a 49ers defense that is, on the whole, quite young. And he often is the guy out front talking to the media, drawing attention to himself, and allowing some of these young guys to just develop on their own and play very, very well.
The Legion and boom, he let him, and then they let him go, and he's making him pay.
All right, while on the subject of pettiness, Frank Clark was very, well, let's say, animated after the Chiefs win.
Last two games, each game, 70 yards, over 200 yards each game. I know damn well we wasn't going to win the game if we let that happen. They come in here, he ran for 70 yards. They call him the best rusher in the league. We're sitting this home early.
I posted the comments that you said to me, and all over social media, everybody said you better watch your back, that you're saying things that you can't cash. Everybody on social media said,
they must not know who I am yet. They going to find out sooner or later when I got that ring on my finger. At the end of the day, we champions. AFC, that trophy that got my own and last name on it, that's the KC. KC, ain't no fall off. Last year, jump off sides, all that. I told him when I got here, there's no change. Look at the. We're the best in the world.
Go join.
Well, you know, I always love a good beep.
Well, he just won the beep contest.
He did me well.
Wow.
But he was a bit exposed, right? He said that, well, Derrick Henry wasn't that hard to tackle and that the Chiefs defense could stop him. And that's a lot of talk when you're going ahead head-to-head against one of the great running backs in the league, and no one had been able to stop Derrick Henry for a long time. Yet the Chiefs did, and they did really in the second half. Henry did well in the first, but it was an impressive defensive showing for the Chiefs defense, a Chiefs defense who, frankly, in the first half of the season, everybody thought was going to be the reason the Chiefs couldn't make the Super Bowl.
Sure. I mean, if there is a weakness, that would have been it. But they didn't show it yesterday.
No, because it's one of those games with the Titans and the Chiefs and with Mahomes being Mahomes, that game is sort of like holding serve in tennis. The Titans needed the score every time because of the threat of Mahomes coming back. And they couldn't afford to be stopped. And so it was a question, could Henry keep it going? Could they continue to put Tannehill in second and short or third and short? But eventually, that Chiefs defense stiffened. I mean, they had a lot of guys up in the box to stop the run.
Yeah, they did.
And eventually they did, and give a lot of credit to that defensive front of the Chiefs.
And do you think they did the right thing, Tennessee, by basically benching Henry in the second half?
Well, at some point, I guess they felt like they're going to have to throw the ball. They're too far behind. And that's the one thing about Derrick Henry is he's not really a third down back in the sense if you've got third and long or if you've got to throw, if you're behind by a couple of scores, he's not the guy to have in your backfield to, one, pass block, two, slide out of the backfield and catch the ball. He's more of a one-dimensional back. He's that plow horse who just runs really hard. I will say this about him that I'm always surprised. You know, he is so big and he moves so well for such a big man, but he runs high. And I haven't heard a lot of people talk about it, but most guys who can pound the middle like that come in to the line of scrimmage lower. It makes them harder to tackle. And he runs pretty upright for a guy of his size.
It's working for him.
It certainly has worked. He was exceptional. And it's sort of interesting you talk about the swing. 10 days ago, he was a stud. Today, the narrative is, should the Titans pay him like the top running back in the NFL? Though he was dominant for many, many weeks, do you pay somebody that kind of money if he's not going to be on the field for you when you get behind by a couple of scores?
No, that's true. It's Overreaction Monday. That's what we deal with.
I think the Titans will pay him a king's ransom. They'll pay him a lot of money.
And they'll keep Tannehill as well.
Yes, I think they've got a lot of pieces on which they can build. And look, if it means that Henry isn't a guy who will bring you from behind, I think you've got to build some other pieces around that team.
Sure.
Maybe a complimentary running back who is great out of the backfield, who will just play that role when needed. All right, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. They fell short of their goal, but Rodgers explained that he's behind his coach, and he still believes that they're on a good track.
I think we really haven't gotten into the tempo stuff at all. You know, just very little with that. I think that's just kind of a product of personnel and kind of the way that the installation went. The scheme is there. I mean, the scheme and what Matt and his staff put together every week was fantastic. The execution and the moving pieces will continue to improve. And like I said, the window's open.
Yeah, he believes the window's still open, and why shouldn't he? But yes, that's you go back at the beginning of the year, there was this debate, would the coach and the quarterback sink? There were concerns that the coach wasn't going to give Rodgers the degrees of freedom to change the play at the line.
Right.
All those questions seemingly are answered. Rodgers is happy. And they played pretty well, although the offense was not as successful, not as prolific this year, at least not the passing offense. They did see Aaron Jones emerge as a quality running back. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think the pieces are there. I'm not ruling that window to be closed. They're going to have to get a few more pieces, some more weapons for Aaron Rodgers.
They on both sides of the ball, honestly. Yeah. They really are. But what I think is the most important sentence he said in that press conference is that what Matt and his staff put together every week is fantastic.
Yeah.
If you have that kind of buy-in from Aaron Rodgers, you're going to be just fine because he looks great still. 36 years old and all, he can throw the long ball. He sees the field. He doesn't panic. He's still got it. They just need to get some pieces around him, and that's no surprise. They've needed that for years.
All right, let's go to Ryan Tannehill. He was one of the better stories of the NFL this season, and he was asked whether he would be interested in returning to the Titans.
No, you know, I think that we started something special here. A lot of belief in one another and what we can do when we buy in and believe in each other and play together. And we did that throughout the whole season. So, yeah, like I said, I love playing with these guys, and I think they feel the same way.
He's been a great story. I mean, the problem for him, of course, early in his career with the Dolphins is he was seemingly always injured and never got real momentum in his career.
And he was.
And, of course,
always injured.
Right, he was. Not seemingly, but always. Yeah. And then, of course, there was all the turnover in the coaching staff in Miami. But to see him persevere, get his shot with Tennessee, it's a really uplifting story. And, yes, I think, as he said, they're building something there, and it's worth staying.
Okay, because we're here in Houston, if I'm Cal McNair, I am throwing any amount of money at Tennessee's OC. What they have done with Ryan Tannehill, can you imagine what they could do with DW4? Yeah. I just can't even stop thinking about it. But there's that. Anyway.
Well, and credit, they did amend the plan when they saw what they had in Derrick Henry. And then they built everything around Derrick Henry's runs and play action with Tannehill.
Right.
And it worked. And there was some interesting creativity, particularly in the first half of that game, also in the playoffs when Derrick Henry was lined up in Wildcat and threw a pass into the end zone. So, yes, they've shown a lot of creativity. And
so I love that OC. I mean, wow.
Well, credit the Titans, credit Tannehill. I'm delighted to see him get his moment. Okay, Andy Reid reminisced on how difficult not winning the AFC Championship last year was, and he explained how his players learned from last year's loss.
Last year, we were 4 inches short, man. I mean, it was, and the guys made it a point to get better than that 4 inches. So, and it was a joint effort. Those guys that had to sit through this last year and watch what went on out there, that wasn't real big. That wasn't a good thing. So they bared down, and they weren't going to go through that again. And you got to be a part of it, just like I did. And you watch how they came about and played.
You know, it's so crazy about that. I mean, Andy Reid is right. The Chiefs didn't lose the game. They lost the coin toss. They weren't even allowed, with those crazy rules in the NFL, to take the field.
Yeah. No, that was a downer. And then, of course, Dee Ford lined up in the neutral zone, and that was a key mistake. They might have made the Super Bowl if that hadn't happened. And Andy Reid has performed at such a high level as a coach for so long, but he has 5 conference championship games where he was there as a head coach of the Eagles, and he only got 1 victory. And that took him to a Super Bowl where they lost to the Patriots. So he's been so close, yet not the champ. And
maybe there's any coincidence that Dee Ford is no longer in Kansas City?
Well, yeah.
But he's going to the Super Bowl.
He will meet them, and it
yes,
will be
he will.
A fun matchup to watch. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap it up by taking a look at what we've learned from the gloss over the last couple of hours. You're listening to SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, this is the moment when we get to look back at what we've learned from Carla Dawson, the Gloss.
This might be the shortest segment tonight.
Here we go. You think, before it's all said and done, the Yankees will be outed for being part of this sign-stealing, cheating scandal.
That's my wish.
Bring the Yankees in.
I do.
You think Well, today the Texans fired Romeo Crennel as their defensive coordinator. You agree with that decision, and you think that perhaps other coaches on the staff need to go.
Everyone that was holding a clipboard in the Chiefs loss, a bye-bye.
Point taken. As a Raiders fan.
Not Anthony Weaver. I'm glad he. I like him being promoted to D.C., so
okay.
We're good there.
But everybody else.
Yeah, everybody else.
All right. As a Raiders fan, you're intrigued by the idea of Tom Brady coming and wearing black in Las Vegas. However, your head tells you he's going back to the Patriots.
My head tells me that. My heart tells me the former.
Fair enough.
Would be pretty exciting. They got to put people in those stands.
Well, that would do
it. In
the
Death Star over there at Allegiant Stadium.
You think Richard Sherman still has some mojo left in him?
I do. Oh, I'm all about him.
You think the Titans are going to bring back both Tannehill and Derrick Henry?
Yes. Why not? It's working.
After a big game win, like the AFC Championship game, Andy Reid goes and celebrates with a big cheeseburger.
God bless him. You know what?
And you love that tradition.
That is wholesome. I'm an Andy Reid fan.
So if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, you'll sit down and have a big cheeseburger with Andy Reid. You get the burger and the fries, too.
I wouldn't be the gloss if I was eating cheeseburgers.
Oh, yes.
My team's won.
Duly noted. Very good. Thanks for joining us.
See you next week.
Radio.